Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yes, welcome to a new week. Second week of the Shelter Footy Cast back at you from Backchat Studios. It's the Southern River Band boys, Cal and the lads out of Thornley. Shelter Footy Cast on socials. You can send us an email. Look, you can do both of these, footycast@shelterbrewing.com.au, or we have a brand new email, if you like that, Skeeter, footycast@backchatstudios.com.au. So if you see Skeet out in the wild, if you've got some feedback from Skeet and my commentary of the scratch match over the weekend, which there was plenty.
Was there?
Yeah, there was. Please send it in or hit us up on socials as well. Mark Rennings is with me today. Will Schofield with you as well. Hello, mate.
Hello, Schofield. You played me some of the audio that Backchat gets as feedback from some listeners.
I That's right.
Who are they? Are they like a part of the company? I said, no, they're just punters ring in to tell you how crap we were or how good we were or how indifferent we were.
Yourself and I, we called the West Coast Fremantle game, and we're going to get into that game in a little bit. How would you, 10 being, you know, Bruce McAvaney and Dennis Cometti, zero being you and I down at the Shoe Bar on a Sunday night, where were we?
I think we were, and this has been, I think we were solid. I think we just tried to call the game, and I enjoyed it, to be honest. It was a bit of fun. And
out of 10, please.
Well, I'm always modest. I'm giving us a pass, a five.
Five. I'd give us a five.
Yeah.
Pre-season for us too.
Yeah.
I stuffed Tom Emmett's name up three times. I called him Josh, Matt and Dale pretty much. I love Tom Emmett as well. Anyway, Skeeter, before we get there, we're going to do a huge, huge show down at Shelter Busselton this Thursday, 8 p.m., long weekend. You might be down there. If you're not, you might be coming down there. You and I are going to preview the West Coast and the Fremantle years to come. Plenty of big news coming out of both clubs. We're going to be live down there from 8 p.m. Get there at 7 and you'll buy everyone a beer.
I'm shouting him on the bar.
It's your shout on the bar from 7 p.m.
Couldn't work any better. No, looking forward to it because had a look at the forecast. And it's going to be 30-plus degrees. Beautiful. Thursday, Friday. It's going to be really busy, I'm guessing, even come Thursday. So, no, great spot. Shelter, we've both been there. Love the hospitality. Busselton is buzzing. And while I just drive down in my Kia from the metropolitan area, you're just flying in from Melbourne to Busselton. So this shows you where we are in our respective lives at the moment.
I'll need to get a sponsorship agreement deal through to the boys at Shelter if we're going to keep pushing Kia at the Kia Sorento that parked out the front. Some of the great advertising we saw during the week. Now, Skeet, tickets you can find on the Shelter website, shelterbrewing.com.au, or you can find them in our link on our bio here at the Shelter Footy Cast on socials. Happy with that, Skeet?
Love it. You know, I've got no idea what you're talking about. I'm just there to provide a wingman for you.
Let's get into the big moments of the round, Skeeter. Look, I thought this was a really big one. Off the back of scratch matches being played around the country, we called the West Coast Freo one, but they're happening all over the place. A couple of things before we have a look at the vision. Do understand this is the first time clubs have played against another jumper as well. So it's proper pre-season. When as a player, when you go out there and you see some different jumpers for the first time, it's a bit of a shock to the system because you've been playing against your teammates, you've been seeing the same stuff. They know what you're trying to do offensively. As an offense, you know what you're trying to do defensively. So it's a bit of a stalemate. Like, you don't get the looks that you do against another side. So we've seen that across the weekend. This was Adelaide and Port Adelaide playing, obviously, over in South Australia. And Sammy Pelpepper's come under a bit of strife for this hit, Skeeter. That was it in fast motion. It looks pretty brutal. This is it slowed down for you. Willy Rioli making a tackle as well. It looks worse in slow motion, obviously. If we're going to have one more look at the fast motion, if you had that, Nick, my opinion on this one, I'll reserve until I've heard what you have to say about this one, Skeeter.
Well,
he's been reported.
I would suggest the end result here is that he will be suspended. He'll miss round one against the Eagles.
I agree.
That's a given.
I agree.
The next step is how many weeks did you get off the back of that? Now, I made a phone call yesterday and the AFL has, in its discretion, to allow him to serve some of his suspension during, I believe, the pre-season.
That's a little tweak.
Yeah, a little tweak, but by the same token, that's at their discretion. So he may be forced to serve, whether it's 1, 2, 3 weeks.
Sorry? During the 100
discretion? I believe, at their discretion. Now, that to me is a That's a very great.
That sounds ridiculous.
Very great. No, it is. So, but
either do it or don't.
But by and large, 2 days prior to that, I read that he's able to serve, say, a week of his suspension playing against Fremantle, for instance, on Friday night.
Right.
So that is still, to me, great. Going back to what occurred there, look, you know, I do feel sorry for Sam Pelpepper, but this case has come at exactly the wrong time for him. And again, I don't think any malice. I don't think there was an intent to inflict the damage he did on Mark Keane. Coming out of a tackle, as we saw there, he braced himself. He obviously kept his elbow down, but he's in trouble.
I want you to hold your thought on how many weeks you think he's going to get, because you've got to remember we've got rule changes coming in to protect the head. We've just had a great player of the game in Angus Brayshaw retire due to concussion. The AFL is under enormous heat to protect the head, and they're doing that via putting responsibility on the players to have a duty of care, an increased duty of care when they're coming into a contest. All of that said, I think this specific contest, and I've got to stress that I think every single incident needs to be looked at alone with precedent. So you need to look at what's happened in the past, who's been given what for what actions, but then you need to look at this specific incident and not compare it to anything else. Sam Pelpepper, physical player, is approaching the contest fast. If you're watching in fast motion, this is happening in 1 second speed. As he gets to about a metre away, Willie Rioli's tackling him.
And the player, goes, given the 360 essentially.
He goes from one side to the other. Now, Sam Pelpepper's already made his first decision is he's going to impact this contest physically. He made that 5 seconds ago, 10 seconds ago. He's seen, he's a good player. He knows how to tackle. He knows how to bump. He's come at that. About a metre away, the Hawthorn player goes from being on the left of Willie Rioli to being slung on his right-hand hip. Should Sam Pelpepper have an increased level of duty of care? Yes, he has to.
In a split second.
Is that a thug hit, no, like some people suggested? I don't think it is at all. But I also think that he's going to get a lot of weeks. I think they're going to give him 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, if I was to make nail a number, I'd say 3. And that's, again, if there's stuff on social media about him and he's the way he attacked that contest, I think he summed it up pretty well with regards to the type of player he is, the type of incident it was. I think because of what's just happened and the AFL concussion is going to be huge, I think 3 weeks, I don't think any more than 3. I think that's maximum for Sam Pelpepper. I think for what he did, mind you, Keane was concussed.
This will be a catalyst for the entire year.
Yeah.
This exact incident. This is the first one they've seen in the new probably mindset, especially the tribunal. I think they're going to go heavy. I think with these new rules in place, we're going to see more of this. They want to see less head contact. There's going to be the same amount of head contact. I don't think he can stop doing that unless he doesn't makes a choice not to impact the contest physically in the first place.
And Ken Hinckley would be saying to him, hey, what's going on?
Well, but this is the way the game's going. Ken Hinckley's going to have to not react like that.
Yeah.
And Sam Pelpepper's going to have to go, well, hopefully Willie Rioli gets his tackle done and I'm not coming to impact this contest. Because we're not seeing that yet. That's what the AFL's trying to do, which I think overall for the game, I don't think that's a good thing. But it's good for players in their heads. Which
so you're saying the AFL will crack down on this, but the MRO still has, to my knowledge, the same criteria as they did last year, or has that changed? I mean, that's a question. If Michael Christian has still got the same criteria to base a penalty from last year, then in that sense, all he can go on is the rules that are in play. Whether the AFL is going to exert some more pressure behind the scenes to up the ante.
Wasn't that a shit show last year with Michael Christian saying stuff and then it gets into the tribunal and then some would get off, some would,
I feel sorry for Michael Christian in many cases.
Yeah, correct. Let's go on to another bit of an issue that happened over the weekend. Apparently, coaches, and I'm not sure why all 18 weren't polled, by the way.
It's just six.
VFL. So they've done six of them. Oh, I think eight or six of them.
Okay.
Could have just sent an email out to the 18, I reckon. But multiple coaches in this realm, and they're some of the biggest voices and names in the AFL, are a big yes for mid-season trades. Craig McRae being one of those, Michael Voss being one of those, Ken Hinckley also a supporter. Chris Scott a little bit further back than them, but he was a bit of a 50-50. Mid-season trades on top of the already acquisition period that it's there in place. There's a draft there right now. How do you reckon trades would work? And are you for them?
Well, look, I think it's inevitable. I think it's going to happen. Yep. That we'll get a trade period in play, and I'm guessing it'll coincide at the same time or within a day or two or a week or two of the draft. A mid-season draft's mid-season. So I suspect they'll coincide. I'm presuming that the draft will stay. The trade comes in. I think there's a likely prospect that if you've got a Dan McStay, injured knee, Jay McGovern down after round seven, and you're short a key defender or a key forward, I can see the merit. I can see the reasons for having it. So in broad principle, yeah, I support it, I think it'll happen.
I think clubs will want to do it. Look, I don't have every in and out of this one, but things that jump off the page for me, players that are not getting a game at AFL level at clubs around the country, they're not on big money. Like, if you're on big money, you're getting a game. So if a player at Hawthorn couldn't get a game at Hawthorn yet, West Coast has a ruck spot come up with
as
that.
As they have.
Right? And they've got a spare ruckman in Lloyd Meek. Right? Mm. Lloyd Meek's not on big money. He's got to pick up his stuff, move his life across the country halfway through an AFL season. That would be one issue. But I read Michael Voss sort of address this one, and he just said, if you're not getting a game on an AFL list and another club says, we're going to give you a game every week, you'd probably move to the other side of the world if you're serious about your career, and you'd make it work. So that's one thing. The other thing would be, and again, I'm sort of like talking and thinking at the same time here, clubs that are going really well and versus clubs that, you know, aren't competing, or maybe the year ahead they're not going to be competing, they're an aging list, maybe this makes the good clubs better.
Unfairly so, you mean?
Or maybe.
Gives them that chance.
Yeah, but
how many trades could you make? I mean, surely it's only one or two.
They'll be limited.
I mean, one or two would be enough to at least have the interest, give club scope to, as you say, whether it's a ruck deficiency or an area of the ground that they've lost a player or they feel they need to improve to challenge. Yeah, I think one or two, and it was going to come in this year, to your knowledge.
Yeah, I was told by a pretty good source that it was coming in, and it got kiboshed at the very last second.
Yeah,
maybe
player association involved in all that,
and a bit of, you know, given that Andrew Dillon's come in as a new boss, I don't think they wanted to shake the apple cart too much. But I think they'll be in. It'll be in next year. It'll be interesting if we see a really big player go mid season. Like, imagine if Dusty Martin halfway through the year went from Richmond to Gold Coast because he knew, in 12 months' time, he was going there anyway. Maybe he just pulls the trigger halfway through because Richmond are shithouse anyway, and you know.
Maybe. I mean, how far away are we from having a two-minute warning in AFL?
What's a two-minute warning?
I say it in NFL. NFL's got the two-minute warning,
right? And you think we're going too far down?
No, I'm just saying. Oh, I love the NFL. You do as well.
Yes.
But we've taken so much from what we see in the NFL in terms of and American sport, essentially.
Yes.
You know, the draft, the salary cap, the trade. It's, you know, we are heading in a very American direction with our off, you know, with our recruitment, etc. Two-minute warnings are a piss take. But
they've gone very heavy with protecting the head.
Yeah.
They've changed numerous rules over the last 5 years. They used to have safeties just coming from a long way back picking off wide receivers. That doesn't happen anymore because basically they started fining them like their entire match fees and then some for repeat offences. So I don't know if the AFL has those mechanisms to do that to AFL players, because you'd see some fines in the NFL. $100,000, $200,000.
Yeah,
you do that to an AFL player, they don't have any money.
I mean, there's the laws now with the NFL with the helmet on helmet. There's just so many different variations of how they're protecting the head, and that's all because of the defamation, the lawsuits,
the legalities,
legalities that have come through in the last 5 to 10 years.
I tell you what, 5 to 10 years, we've got a bit of a blast from the past just to jump out of footy for a second here, Skeeter. Just have a look at some of your best work here, Skate. Can we have a bit of sound? Don't have the sound for that right now. Because we're going to need the sound for this one.
Okay.
Don't have the... Yeah, well, it's a Mark Redding's... We'll come out of that, do that another time. I just wanted to give you a little look at something. I'll put it in my back pocket.
Okay. Is it, so you're taking the mickey out of me?
Well, what do you think? Do you think...
Well, you're not going to be pumping me up in 2 years doing this show, so I'm not expecting a surprise.
Kill that, boys. Just kill it. Okay. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footy Cast. West Coast Eagles and Dockers played in their first match sim, and Yours truly and Mark Rennings were there to call all the action. If you want to know even more about both those sides, make sure you get your tickets to the show at Busselton this Thursday, 8 p.m. at Shelter Brewery. It's going to be a great night because Skeeter's going to have no money left by the end of the night. You can get your tickets both on our socials and the Shelter website. Skeeter, how did you see the game overall?
Enjoyed it. Fremantle, I was really impressed by the midfield, the forward connection of the likes of Tracy, Amos and Jackson, really good. Lot to like about Fremantle. And I thought their midfield, the way they, the synergy they had between Fife with the back doing what he does in his natural habitat as a midfielder, Sarong, so good early. I thought they showed enough in the midfield with Darcy primarily rucking that they're going to be, and the fact that they're injury free essentially without too many concerns again from the weekend, massive for them. Down back, they look solid. Don't get me wrong, it's a one pre-season match. So the bullish factor on them, and a lot of Eagles fans would be absolutely shaking their head thinking, this is going to be a disaster. And
same the other way, it's probably not as bad as it seems for West Coast. It's not as good as it seems for Freo. It's not as bad as it seems for West Coast.
Yeah, no, look, the Eagles, I thought, and we mentioned this in the commentary, I thought their pressure on the ball carrier was really good, and I thought they had some, a bit like last year though, they had times where they lost their way in the course of a quarter. But I saw the effort and the physicality to me seemed better, the tackling pressure than from last year. And I've still got a ton of issues, not the least of which, and you highlighted this pre-game and during the match about, you know, Bailey Williams having spent all summer trying to get a role as a forward. And, last year he was pinch hitting. Now he's going back to what he had to do. And you suggesting that Matt Flynn might be out for upwards of 3 months?
Well, I haven't seen the scans, clearly, but I'm hearing it's a hamstring tendon issue, and the people I've spoken at the football club said it's not a 3 to 4 weeker. So that tells me it's a tendon injury, and that's about as bad a result as West Coast could have had, given the dynamic that he's changed at the footy club. Bailey Williams as a forward. You've got Jake Waterman being able to play a different role than he's going to have to do now. With Matt Flynn as a standalone ruck. We spoke about this, how important he was. He was their number one important player, I think we said last week. So he's done his tendon in a captain's run.
Can you explain this to me?
I have no idea what they were doing to have done that.
Because captain's run, to the outsider, is pretty low key.
Very low key.
The intensity factors.
It's meant to be like that. It's the day before the game. So you're literally just getting your body going, just getting it prime. So I don't know what the action was. It wasn't there. But that's just it's huge news. And I said this last week, I think West Coast, I'm not going to try and preview their season too much, but
you're not bullish at all.
Well, off the back of these injuries, mate, and they're more injured than they were last year, so I can't be bullish, absolutely not. But I did want to speak about Freo and the positivity I saw from there. Yes, loved their forward line, which we spoke about last week, but that was the real deal. Josh Tracy, Luke Jackson and Jai Amos, they looked outstanding, just as pure forwards. Their midfield was calm, collected, they had a lot of clearances. We didn't have stats with us at the time, which made it a little bit difficult, but Fife had 20 in the first half.
Didn't use his feet much, but by hand he was...
One of the all-time stitch-ups. You and I, we'd noticed, like, he was playing well. It's sometimes hard if you don't have the stats in front of you, but he was around it. And I've given him one of the all-time raps. Just great to see the two-time Brownlow medalist back where he belongs in the midfield. He's just superstardom. The tap comes down. So as the special comments, I'll hand to you, and you go, you know, Darcy down to Brayshaw, gives to Fife. Fife takes one on, takes another on, bang, gone. Holding the ball, just stun mullet at the top of the square. I thought their midfield was great. Their backs didn't have to do much, but there was some good run from Jordan Clark, looked really good back there. But the best thing that I saw from the Freo Dockers, and this is something you can take out of a match sim, because that's all this was. It was a scratch match. So don't get too carried away, West Coast fans. Don't get carried away too much, Freo fans. But their connection from their midfield to their forward line
looked good.
Like multiple times. The pressure's real. So you get that upward tick in pressure, and they connected so many times with a player out, and whether it was work done behind the footy, whether it was the delivery from the midfielders, whether it was the work done by the forwards in the contest, that they looked really good. And that's something that you can work on a whole pre-season, and then when you can deliver it, you can see with your eyes that it's a big improvement. Because they had issues last year with being able to do that, and I thought it was really good, and their ball movement was pretty good too.
Absolutely. And you mentioned, look, it's early days and they still might end up missing him a heap, but Lachie Schultz's absence is noted, and we know that's going to be hard to replace. But with Sam Sutkowski, Michael Walters,
Tom Emmett,
I was about to get to him. It mightn't be the tragedy in football parlance that we've made out over the summer. Lachie Schultz will do super well at Collingwood, but there's a way out of this. And I've got to put this young bloke into the mix. He kicked his first goal for the Dockers. His name's Cooper Simpson.
No, man.
He's taken a pick 35. He may not play round one. He may not play for the first month, but he'll be playing senior footy.
You like him.
I do. And surely what you saw gives you optimism that he's tracking well.
Well, yeah, what I do like is, and I know the Freo fan base loves getting around players like a Tom Emmett or a Cooper Simpson. You can see the talent there. Lachie Schultz was much loved by the Freo fan base, and I think Tom Emmett could be that guy. Cooper Simpson, for a young guy, he just had some things, didn't he? You could just see that he bit of a little bit of left and right, had a bit of pace. They played him in the midfield a bit, especially as the game went on and the senior guys came out. Nat Fyfe will be permanent midfielder. I don't think he'll even play forward. Like, it didn't even look like he rested forward too
and
much.
It just looks more natural for him. And the caveat is whether he can maintain that bull approach to the ball and the contest and maintain his health. A bit like Elliot Yeo. And Elliot showed some really nice signs at the weekend. We thought, yep, he's back moving pretty well. And I know we're veering away here. You mentioned that he's had to change his running technique, which is an extraordinary, I would have thought, deviation away from what you've done for most of your life.
Yeah, I mean, imagine trying to change that. He spent quite a lot of time, I think changing his running technique. So you can see he's more upright, and that's to take sort of load off his hips, his groins, his hammies, the issues he's had over the past couple of years. And he had one play in particular where he sort of got that ball coming around the back of the contest and then hit the gap and ran away from everyone. We haven't seen that for multiple years now. So I think that's big for West Coast. Look, they had a couple of injuries. We've spoken about Matt Flynn, the boy, Ruben Jimby. He was looking pretty good through the midfield. He had a big head clash with Luke Jackson, so not sure when we'll see him next.
Look, you're a massive fan. What is Ruben Jimby going to be in 2024? Because we saw him last year. Looked like he was playing more at times, more of a nullifying role as opposed to a creative role. What is he?
I'd like to see him getting more outside ball, and I don't know if that's doing what they're doing with a Harley Reid off the back flank, or just playing him in areas that apparently his running capacity is just absolutely unbelievable. You could play him on a wing; he'd be super dangerous out there.
I read, and I'm sure we're not supposed to be, and we did mention at the call about he's listed the last sighting I saw of his weight at 83 kilograms.
So we're not allowed to talk about his weight, is that what
you're saying? Joking about the AFL. The AFL record, well, the AFL, the Bible.
He's bigger than 83.
I'm going to say 83. That's
maybe about 95.
That's about 5-10 kilos light, isn't it? Weight-wise, he's just put some muscle, as has Matty Johnson, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you look at the two guys, it was Ruben Jimby by sight, just looked phenomenal, and Matt Johnson, he looked really good. He started in the middle for Freo as well, so it was sort of he, Brayshaw, Sarong and Fyfe were the four main guys in there, I think. Jago O'Meara sort of came in and out. Will Brody, they got through, which will be interesting to see how Will Brody goes this year. I don't know what sort of role he plays. He's certainly a couple back in that midfield.
Well, he played 24 games two seasons ago. Last season, just 5 games. So there was a clear message from Justin Longmuir that there were areas of his game that weren't up to scratch, including his defensive capacity. So perhaps that's something he's had to work on. But the Dockers, if they're skinny anywhere, I think they need as many mid. Like if it's Cooper Simpson coming through, if it's Brody back in the mix, they've just got to get more depth. You can't keep relying on Brayshaw, Sarong, Mira to some extent as your main ball winners. They have to have 7 or 8 players that can rotate there at any given time.
And I think we'll see that. It wouldn't be a West Coast game without talking about Harley Reid. And I thought you and I did a pretty good job of calling this one. He came down with cramp late in the fourth quarter. We called that, didn't get up, ball went out. And then as it comes back in, he sort of jumps back to his feet, sees a chance to take a hanger, goes up, and I reckon, he's cramped in the middle of the air, and I thought it looked like he came down with a straight leg, and then he was lying on the ground holding his knee.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Well, I immediately thought he's gone down with cramp again. You, rightfully having looked at the vision or seen where his hands were, thought, hang on, this is a bit more concerning. So
I just didn't want to take the piss out of him and have a laugh with cramp when, you know, he was sitting there holding his knee, and every West Coast fan in the country would have been holding their collective breaths. Gets up, walks off, all good.
But cooked, completely cooked.
Yeah.
And look, if you to surmise his game, he started most quarters from memory inside the centre square.
Yep.
He played down back a bit, took a kick in, which he showed a bit of bravado and dash.
He ran outside the 450. That was
he got the ball almost up to centre-half forward. He got done a couple of times for trying to... We saw it in intra-club matches where he used the fend-off successfully against opponents or his teammates. Didn't work against the Dockers. So, you know what? Just let the kid learn on the job. And I think what we saw, a beautiful hit-up pass, I think I called, from half-back to the wing. There's ample time for him.
We, as in the media, have got to do our best to not pick apart his game every
week. After one game, yeah.
So I think just let him go. There's some really exciting stuff there, but he's also 18 years old, so good luck to the young fella. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footycast. Freo won that game, by the way. They absolutely spanked him.
But how good was the second match we called? 2 20-minute match simulation.
That was really terrific stuff. Didn't have a name in front of us with a number, so
we had a couple of names missing, a couple of numbers missing.
I think we did pretty well. Pat Voss played pretty well,
yes.
And so we finally figured out that was Pat Voss. Let's be honest. We can be honest.
And we were told not to call it like a main event, main feature.
Yeah,
event,
a bit more of a chat. It was good, but then every now and then, you know, someone by Matty Tabb. And I went all right down there as well. So
yeah, Cooper Simpson played a bit of that game, which you tend to think means he's back in the pack, which makes sense.
Yeah, I am. They're trying to get more work into him than a Nat Fife. So now, Skeeter, AFL Club Preview. We did the first 8 without West Coast and Freo. We're now doing the last 8, and that's not ladder position. That's alphabetically. If you're playing along at home, Skeeter.
Yeah,
you playing along at home?
I am trying.
Okay, Hawthorn. Let's get into Hawthorn. Their biggest in of the trade period, I think, has got to be Jack Ginnivan from the Collingwood Football Club.
Yes, I agree. I can't dispute that. Interesting. It's so bizarre. How many times, off the top of your head, be very few, where a premiership player leaves to go to another club the following year? I mean, I'm sure there are cases, but not many. They're few and far between, I'd suggest.
Yeah, that's a very good call. But I think he'll be a difference maker for the Hawthorn Footy Club. Maybe your Chol will be a pretty good pickup as well, I would say. Now, biggest out, Tyler Brockman, who was injured with knee soreness for West Coast on the weekend. I don't think that's a good sign there either. But Tyler Brockman looks good, and I think that's their biggest out.
And maybe Jacob Kaczynski, if he emerges at Richmond as a real talent. So traded, of course, to them. Look, you talk about clubs that have had injuries this year in the preseason. They're in the grand final with maybe the Eagles and another club that's.
This is their biggest weakness coming into this year. That they're not going to have that. They don't have the cattle anyway. Like it's they're building a list. They don't have these superstars. So then when Dylan Moore's injured or sick, they've had CJ go down with a hammy. They've had some of their better players go down. I think that's their biggest weakness going into this year. If they can get them back at some point in the first part of the year. But what will happen is if they can't win games early, like a little bit of confidence will come out of the group. And I think that leads me into their biggest strength is Sam Mitchell this season. I think Sam Mitchell, as I'm going to absolutely tell you, I went the early crow on, like one of the best coaches of all time. And you're starting to see what he's doing at Hawthorn. I think if there's a man at the helm that can actually guide them through a bit of injury trepidation, I think it could be Sam Mitchell.
Yeah, I agree. The plan's been set out. We've been able to see it, even from the other side of the country, what he's trying to do with this list. Injuries, I still think they'll be exciting to watch this year at times once they get the full complement back. And by the way, I think Hawthorn Hall of Fame, the late Alan Jeans has been elevated to legend status. So one of the greats of the Hawks being on it. But yeah, Hawthorn for me, look, a team that's probably not going to play finals, but they could win 8 to 10 games quite comfortably.
I reckon over summer before these injuries happened, I had them in a group of teams that
contending
may
for finals,
make finals.
Yeah,
probably pulled them out of there at the moment. Let's go to Melbourne. We know we've been speaking a fair bit about this football club over the summer. Jack Billings, I reckon, is their biggest in this year. He's a really good player, and these good players that go to good teams, Lockie Schultz being I think you put, and that's no shade on St Kilda, certainly, but I think Melbourne's better than St Kilda. We'll see this year. They were certainly last year. Jack Billings, I think, will go to a new level. I've really liked him at St Kilda. I think in Melbourne's game style, he could really blossom into a an even better player than he already is. Biggest out, Brodie Grundy.
No, well, biggest out's Angus Brayshaw.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, Brodie didn't play any footy. So Angus, and not that he was a major player, but the Joel Smith elements come into it. And it's interesting. This is the one team, I think, if you asked 3 months ago, out in straight sets in the finals last year, look, they've still got plenty of quality. They've beaten by a combined total of, about 10 points in those two finals. Now, I know you, myself, others are thinking, what's happened with Brayshaw? What's happened with Smith? The culture issues coming up. Is this going to mean a slide for a team that's played finals pretty regularly in the last 5 years?
Yeah, I think their strength lies in their midfield with Max Gawn, their captain, still the best ruckman in the competition. Can they get Oliver underneath him? Can they get Petrarca consistent again like he was last year? If they can do that, that's their biggest strength. And I think that they've probably got one of the best midfield brigades in the competition. Jack Viney, add that to the mix, and I think that stands up against probably any midfield in the comp. Their weakness is their culture, their off-field, the bullshit that's going on outside the four walls right now.
Yeah, fair enough. You mentioned Oliver. I just jumped on Twitter earlier today, and I saw a piece, which is obviously a back chat feature with Brett Roseberry, and I saw some vision of you and Clayton Oliver, I think, getting mixed up, and you raising your elbow, and he went down like he'd been shot by Lee Harvey Oswald in the JFK scenario, and he was struck on the shoulder, but he milked it beautifully.
Brett Roseberry reported me. He was right there. So it was very good to talk to Brett about that because we came up with a magnificent defence there and said, I feathered his chin because I did actually touch
his
chin.
Oh, it looked like a shoulder. Was it a shoulder?
I feathered his chin.
Okay.
Like just a little nick.
Okay. What did you get?
I was given two and I got off.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was the point. So Brett Roseberry was absolutely grilled by David Grace, our QC, and basically marched out. Halfway through the Brett Roseberry just said, I don't really care if you hit him or not, Gracie. Like, it's all good, mate. And basically his, like, testimony was thrown out. And, yeah, I got off.
On a slightly serious note, in fact, a very serious note, Brett Roseberry, he was in town recently. He posted something on social media, on Facebook at the weekend, obviously, that the tragedy in Sydney with the goal umpire, the AFL goal umpire, and his partner, who were allegedly murdered. He was really close to, well, close mates with him, and so he was supposed to umpire a practice match, the young man, and obviously what happened, and so Brett and the umpiring fraternity, in fact, many in the AFL fraternity, still mourning the loss of one of their own.
Mm. Well done. All right, let's go to North Melbourne. Look, they've had a few list changes here. Colby McKercher has significant hype around what he can do this season, as well as Zane Dersma. They were their first couple of picks this year, pick two and pick four, respectively. Zach Fisher over from Carlton, can he go to a new level? He's a pretty good player at Carlton, but he was in and out of the team a little bit. They've had some good ins.
They have. Isn't it funny? Colby McKercher. Now, if you asked every West Australian footy supporter, well, most, the number one draft pick in the country, who was it? They'd know. The number two, I think you might struggle to get, you know, we're talking one pick. Yep. And the pressure that's on the bloke over here, the young man over here, compared to Colby, not saying there's no pressure, but he I think, will be able to go about his footy in a pretty, you know, under Alistair Clarkson. And, he hopefully will have a fruitful career. Zach Fisher's had some injuries during the off-season. Done a hammy recently as well. So he's a player that, you're right, he's a chance to play as a rebounding halfback. He was a small forward.
Gee, they've flipped their list. So how many ins there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 ins, and the same amount of outs. Ben McKay,
the big name,
is probably the biggest one. But they lost a Todd Goldstein. Look, that's leadership. Aaron Hall retired.
Jack
He's a senior
Siebel.
Player. And Jack Siebel. Like, they've lost some leadership there as well. It's not just all young blokes out the door.
Yeah, so off the back of that, I think North will be better. What we saw just quickly in that game against Collingwood, pre-season game, albeit.
What are they calling it? North Ball.
North Ball. Well, that was just one term. It was fast, free-flowing, and, you know, Alistair Clarkson, as he's entitled to, trying to change things up to see what this team is suited to.
That's their biggest strength, I think, their youthful exuberance. You like that, Skate?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, thank you. I think that if harnessed in the right way, they could take a few scalps this year. You know, you get a young group up and about, a little bit like Hawthorn did last year. And you got to remember, Sam Mitchell's straight out of the Alistair Clarkson playbook. Like, he's gone, he's played and coached with him He has played and coached under Adam Simpson.
Yep.
It's very much a Hawthorn game style that we'll see at North Melbourne. Their biggest weakness, I'm sorry to say this, but it's probably their team, their players. Like, I don't think they have a lot of cover in the back line.
Well, how many A-list players have they got in there? I mean,
not yet. Not many. No, LDU's a
LDU's, he's a genuine A-lister.
Yes. any others?
No, I'm just trying to think.
No, I think...
No, no,
I
not,
think,
being, not being...
No, no, not being facetious, but like that is...
He's a standout. I mean, Nick Larkey has to be considered an A-lister.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah. I'd have him in the top five in the AFL. Yeah,
so there's at least two, and we may well be overlooking one or two others.
There's
as well.
Certainly some stars up and coming in their midfield. George Wardlaw probably being the top of that list. He's a star incoming. I just don't think they have
enough quality.
The cattle right now. Mm. But they will. That I can see that they'll be a good side. They just won't be this year. Port Adelaide. Biggest in, Asava Radigalia. They've added a little bit of bulk behind the footy for them. They felt like that was something they probably didn't get right last year. Again, not going well in finals.
Just want you to talk me through the number 10 draft pick, if you can.
Number 10 draft pick. I just want to talk...
The number 48 draft pick, should I say?
Sorry. So at number 48 in the 2023 draft, Port Adelaide selects Thomas... Anna Santopoulos. What is it? Come on, hero.
I'd say...
Anastasopoulos.
Anastasopoulos.
Thank you very much, Mark Rennings.
I hope I have to call his name this year.
That is... You definitely will. That is why you're one of the best in the business. Their biggest out, maybe Xavier Dursman at Essendon. Horacio Fantasia out the door, delisted, but he's found a new home as well. Scott Lysett retired as well. So they've had some outs. Young core players are probably their biggest strength. Butters, Rosie... Horn Francis takes another leap. Like, that's probably their real core and how they improve.
And I think Ollie Wines, he had some knee issues last year. Now, I know you mentioned those players are young and up and coming. Ollie's won a Brownlow.
Good point.
And it was disappointing last year because his body, according to Ken Hinckley, wasn't quite doing him the favours required. So they're a team that they have to play finals. In fact, I think for Port Adelaide supporters, they've almost got to make a grand final to get a pass mark. Is that being... I know the grand final is very difficult, but we're in that territory, aren't we? The Port Adelaide...
If they make a prelim and they lose to Collingwood, I mean, that's a good year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that. But put it this way, there's a lot of pressure on Port to not just be playing finals. They have to go very deep.
Their back line this year could be Alir and Asava Radigalea. Can you imagine them running around taking intercept marks? That would be unbelievable. They're back... like. The way Port Adelaide set up, they go hard and fast, and they want to be aggressive with how to defend. I think adding Asava to that back line, Trent McKenzie's been playing like a more lockdown role. I just think that's probably an astute pickup. It could be good to watch those two go about their business. The weakness for Port Adelaide, they haven't been able to win in finals time. So until they do that, that's still going to be their biggest weakness. Richmond, Sam Naismith added off as a delisted free agent. He had a good couple of years in the VFL. He has, of course, played in a premier, definitely played in a grand final. Was he a premiership ruckman? He played in a grand final for Sydney, Sam Naismith. So he comes to the footy club. Probably their biggest pickup, to be honest. Jacob Kaczynski came over, and then just some Cat B rookies and some draft picks. Some big outs.
Massive. Big names, aren't they? Cochin, Revolt, to a lesser extent. Well, Ivan Solda gone to Port Adelaide, but
he'll be their number one ruckman.
He's close a big, to it, anyway. Big loss for the current. Obviously, the other two players, greats of the game. And
I think their new game plan could be their biggest strength and weakness this year.
Yeah.
Under Adam Uzo.
Well, I think they've got the ability on their day to beat, as I say, some of the better teams, but also drop games. Dusty's obviously depend on him. I read somewhere Adam Uzo, I'm not saying he's stripped all the walls of all their premiership glory photos, but I think he's just tried to somehow park that for the players, because a lot of these players that have, you know, had so much success and enjoyed multiple premierships, you've been to the buffet once, twice, maybe three times. Scully, you could speak to this. Yeah, how do you reload under new voice is one thing, which is good.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, isn't it? Because everyone looks at the game plan and who your players are, but a big part of being a head coach and getting a bunch of players to come together and play good footy and win is about the mentality, and it's the messaging. So like Adam Simpson, you know, over my time under him, was a pretty strategic messenger. Like he would come up with different ways to motivate through his messaging. So Adam Uze, again, out of the Clarkson School of Hard Knocks, I think Adam Uze.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised if he was.
I think he'll be trying to just say, look, guys, I know you've been a successful side and we're proud of our history and we're proud of what, but what, right now, you know, we're trying to win 2024's premiership. So there's no use having big picture up of Jack Rewalhol in the Premiership Cup. He's not going to help us this year. Yes, we love that, but we're a new team this year.
You mentioned the ins. In many ways, Tom Lynch is the big in for them because he didn't play much footy, did he?
But he's going to be injured again this year,
I think.
I don't love his chances of having a big season, to be honest, Skate. But hey, being wrong on this podcast would be going poorly. I can let you know that I haven't done the nudie run, Skate. But okay. It will be done. Don't worry, it will be done before round zero.
Okay. Right. Can you just tell us off the record what? And on the quiet, what was the hold up?
Do you want some honesty or do you want...
In 30 seconds.
Oh, 30 seconds. I forgot.
You forgot?
I forgot. Well,
what night were you planning to do
it? I was thinking of doing it after we call their game, but I'd forgotten that...
I told you there's 50,000 at the WWE.
That's what I mean. I've forgotten about that. And then it was yesterday, and I don't know. Just being a dad, yeah, I just forgot. All right,
okay,
it's all right. Yeah. I promise.
You do it next Saturday. We're going to dinner on Saturday. Why don't you jump in an Uber and go to the office and do your stupid prank then?
Very good, St Kilda. They could be anything this year. A couple of good trades, I think. Liam Henry, probably the best of the lot that they've got in. Riley Bonner, I like him as well, from Port Adelaide, but Liam Henry for mine probably. You know, it could be Liam Henry and Brad Hill on opposing wings. I've heard Brad Hill's training very well at the moment for St Kilda footy side. Jade Gresham, probably their biggest out across the off-season. I think he'll be a very good player. He's gone to Essendon. Jack Billings. Billings and Gresham both out. I don't love that, but I've got an inkling that their defensive mindset would have been a reason that Ross wasn't overly keen to keep them.
Yeah, okay. Let me just touch on a couple that haven't been listed as ins, but they are in some sense because Tim Membry, of course, left the club at the end of last year towards the end for personal reasons. He kicked 3 goals on his comeback intra-club match win, scratch match last week. And Lance Collard, pick 28 for St Kilda, a really exciting young Indigenous player from WA.
You caught him a bit last year.
Yeah, and I think Ross Lyon will be good for him because I think Lance would have loved to have stayed in WA, family ties, and you know, some players, let's be honest, some players are going to struggle away from home, and that has been the concern for him, how he's going to adjust to life in Melbourne. So if he has settled in, let's hope the kid can get... I think Ross will be as good a coach as anyone to try and bring him into the fold, and whether it's a Liam Henry or Brad Hill, to really nurture him, and let's hope Lance Collard gets a decent run at it. St Kilda's a club that... I was surprised by particularly the first half of the season how good they were. Ross just... The game that stands out for me, Fremantle, St Kilda, round one, and Ross just did a number on his old club, didn't he? So he's got the ability still to do that. Whether they can play finals,
It's year two under Ross Lyon. I think that's still on the upward... I think they're still going up. I think they're still improving. I don't think we've seen the big Ross drop-off that we've seen at other clubs.
No. Whether they've got the talent... And Ross is able to... Well, he didn't, clearly. They had so many injuries at the start of last season.
Yep.
And he's still got things happening. So I wouldn't discount them from playing finals. But if they dropped out, conversely, I wouldn't be overly surprised if they get some more injuries and they don't have the same success.
I think their scoring power is their biggest question mark. Can they score what they need to play finals? We know that they're a key defensive side. We know that Ross Lyon promotes that. But they were the fourth lowest scoring side in the competition last year, only in front of West Coast, North and Hawthorn. So they play finals scoring that. If they can bump that up, like that was significantly lower than other sides as well. If they can kick 3 goals more a game, That is a big difference. So I would say, yes, Ross has instilled the defensive mindset in the group. This preseason would have been about how do we score? How do we turn that into scores? Proof will be in the pudding if they can do that. Sydney, they have had some big ins this year. Taylor Adams, Brody Grundy featuring there nicely. I think they'll both slot in as first 18 players. Biggest out, probably Lance Franklin, the greatest tool we've ever done it, basically as a forward. It's really interesting, I think, with Sydney that we're talking about them improving as one of the greats of all time leaves their club? Like, yeah. Does that say a bit about their culture and
it's why they go about the business? Yeah. They don't bottom out historically. I mean, going back to Barassi in the days when he took over, Gary Bacanara was coach in the 90s. That was Struggle Street. No, this is the 90s.
Okay.
But they don't, because maybe the demands in Sydney are you can't have 2 or 3 years in the bottom four, as the Eagles will have, and still survive with sponsorship and membership. This club, and they've shown that you can still contend and still at the same time rebuild. And that's what they're doing here with those experienced, ready-made players in Adams and Grundy. If you're doing a top eight, they have to be absolutely in strong consideration.
Paddy McCartan out the door through retirement. I think Joel Hamling's a really good pickup. We saw him here at Fremantle. He's a premiership player. With the Western Bulldogs, you and I called the Waffle Grand Final together, did we? Can't remember.
Last year?
Yeah.
No, I called it for Channel 7.
Sorry.
But you weren't in the commentary box from a memory.
No, that's right. I was calling it at 6 PR. Sorry.
No, but anyway, you're right.
He played outstanding. Who's Joel Hamling.
Joel Hamling, do you know he's never kicked a goal in AFL footy?
That's the sort of action I like to hear. We haven't done our Sydney backman for back chat. I'm going to get right around him for that. Well done, Skeeter.
Pleasure.
Well, I thought he was their best player in the Waffle Grand Final last year. He'll go to Sydney. We know how they play. Their back line has played the same way for literally 20 years. Yeah. They call it the forklift. They get their hands like this, left and right of your body from behind, and they don't let you behind them. They just keep you in front, shunt them up. And then if you're going to get a touch, you got someone up. You just think about Dane Rampey.
Dane Rampey would be perfect.
You're literally Dane Rampey. That's how they've defended. Heath Grundy, like these guys, that's how they defend. And then they've bought a bit of the intercept marking in over the past few years. But Joel Hamling would just be that guy. He'll be good at it.
And Logan McDonald, from memory, I think he kicked a bag or certainly a few goals at the weekend. He's the man that, obviously West Coast and Fremantle, particularly Fremantle, I think probably looking at the prospect of getting him back at the end of this year. Sydney have got him earmarked as the man.
If you look at West Coast and Fremantle in terms of vacancies, though, it would probably be more West Coast.
Well, I suppose Oscar Allen, Jack Darling, maybe so. They've got salary cap space. Either way, both clubs would be crazy not to have a look at him.
Imagine Freo's forward line if it was Amos, Jackson, Tracy. I really rate Tracy really highly, and Logan McDonald. You wouldn't know where to kick it. You wouldn't know who to play on. There we go. Sydney Swans, Western Bulldogs. Look, I think James Harms, you mentioned him a little earlier on. Did you?
No.
Okay. Who did you? No, Membry. I'll get them mixed up a little bit. James Harms, Harmsy, comes over in a trade from Melbourne. He'll be a pretty good addition to the Western Bulldogs. Out. Look, there's some names out. I don't know the biggest one. Maybe a Josh Bruce when he retired. I used to think he was in my top three hardest players to ever play on. So ACL for him sort of ruined his back end of his career, though. Look, Western Bulldogs, their strength is their list. They've got an elite list. They've got forward line potential and firepower, like huge firepower down there.
Their midfield.
You, Hagen, Norton, Lobb. Bontempelli in the midfield.
They've got every base covered. That's why there's so much heat on Luke Beveridge.
Correct. So their list is their strength. Can they put it together in a game plan that stands up? I don't know. They were really inconsistent last year. Bailey Smith might be the biggest out this year, given his ACL injury in the preseason.
Yeah, I forgot that. But yeah, that's really sad for him. Just a quick shout out, Aiden O'Driscoll, brother of Nathan, taking a pick 55.
Runner.
If he's not the quickest player in the AFL, should he get a game? He's certainly
really
running in the grand final sprint.
Fast.
On grand final. Very quick. Mate, he's super quick.
I like that a lot. Biggest weaknesses for Western Bulldogs is their inconsistency and their lack of identity, probably.
And sometimes a bit flaky when you think they should be, playing like Tarzan. They play like
someone. West Coast beat them last year. West Coast beat them at Marvel.
Exactly. And they were playing for finals. Wow.
That's shockingly bad. There you go. That's the rest of the teams. If you want West Coast and Fremantle, we're going to get right stuck into them. Full breakdown coming up Thursday at Busselton. Shelter Brewing right down there on the foreshore. They've got skates sitting up. They've got a bit of a throne for him there. They've got some nice beers. Skate will shout you a few beers. Will you be shouting the people beers?
Well,
can
I'll
you
be,
confirm that?
I'll be happy to go into my wallet and see if there's any money left. Hopefully there's some air conditioning down at the Shelter because there's none in this room. And it's hopefully we get that sorted out before we get into the depths of winter.
Will do, Skate. Stop wearing your suit pants and shirts in here, mate. Wear some shorts next time. He hosted... What did you host the other day? You're in shorts. Oh, the 6PR opening. You didn't want to put some pants on for that?
It was 39 degrees, William.
I tell you what. And then we're calling the game. We're wrapping up, by the way. Shelter Footycast on socials, footycast@shelterbrewing.com.au. We're calling the game. It could have been mid-quarter. And you're on the phone to Tab Touch.
What a bet on.
Going, hello, Mark Reddings, account number, blah, blah, blah. I want India, New Zealand. Bloody less runs in the second innings. What are you even betting on?
Meanwhile, Scully hears fireworks at the back of the grandstand. He's like a three-year-old looking out to see he's never seen fireworks before. Grow up!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.